Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Here we are again, Scott. Another episode on a Friday afternoon. We adjusted the time a little bit because we have a guest on from Microsoft, and us doing it at 8 a.m. Eastern time does not always accommodate people on the West Coast.
Yeah, there's that whole right coast, left coast thing, but we like to be accommodating. So, Caruana, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell folks what you do at Microsoft, and we'll get into our conversation.
All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Hello, everyone. I'm Caruana Gatimu, and I'm in charge of customer outreach and community engagement for Microsoft Teams. And I'm happy to be here.
Awesome.
All right. And we're glad to have you. It's fun to talk. We have lots of questions about Teams, some of what we'll get into and some we won't. It's kind of fun having you on. We're talking a little bit before even recording it because you actually have some of a background too in media and producing audio, video, and you even do some of that for Microsoft. You're telling us you got a studio, you're starting to do more. So why don't you even just give us a little intro on some of that background? Because it's kind of fun, interesting to hear where you came from and have a guest on that also does some media, some productions.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that. Well, I think what's interesting about the SharePoint or Office 365 community is a lot of us have very diverse backgrounds. Technology was my day job. It wasn't actually what I went to school for. And I've always been interested in the creative side of work. My family did a lot of that. So now I ended up finally having a show on YouTube for Microsoft. It's called Coffee in the Cloud. And I'm excited that I get to have this studio there in our offices. It's not a huge studio, but it's exactly what you need, especially with the technology changes today, to be able to tell stories about, you know, the technology and how it's really empowering people. People are my thing more than the tech, even though I am a geek and I do like to build things. I really like to see how it's helping people in the broader world. And I also use my studio as a place to train people. So part of the mission of my Coffee in the Cloud studio is to have the interns and some of the new hires in our organization come in and learn about the equipment. People can be intimidated by all this podcasting equipment and the video cameras and what have you. And so I like to bring them in and teach them how to own their voice and how to tell their own story. So it's definitely been something I've done on and off throughout my career. I had a company that produced events and videos and I produced and wrote and produced a documentary on the discovery of AIDS once. And so, yeah, I really like the new media work and how it's coming together with everything else that's going on.
Wow, that's awesome. Very cool. Maybe you can even give us tips on how to make our show better. We're always looking for input, advice.
Well, I think your show is awesome. So I'm happy to, you know, everybody has their own take. I mean, for me, the most important thing about any of this work is authenticity. I think that people learn from other people better than they learn from bright, shiny marketing objects. And I think that there's a lot of that in the ecosystem and it can create a lot of noise. So I really love these shows that are more grassroots, are from people who know the tech, you're doing this work every day. And for me, I think that's really valuable for just so many people. So thank you for being interested enough in our products that you have a show about it. You know, it's really fantastic.
Not a problem. It's been fun. We're having a good time with it. So speaking of bright, shiny objects, now that we said we want to be authentic, we want to talk a little bit about Teams too and some of the bright, shiny objects that might be coming to Teams. I know there have been a few things recently. You were talking about some of the governance around Teams, and then there's obviously the whole transition from Skype for Business to Teams, bringing the two together. So those were kind of a couple of the bigger, more recent topics we wanted to talk about. So let's talk about governance. I know there's a plan for governance around policies, classifications,
right,
creations, guest access. So why don't you talk a little bit about some of those governance things that have come to Teams here recently?
Oh, I'm happy to. So just for many of us who are coming from a collaboration background, Teams has seemed a little bit like the wild, wild west. And it has been. You know, I think our first messages were around, you know, get in the product, create Teams and try it. And that is excellent from a user experience perspective. But my IT pro heart flutters when I hear people talk about things like that, because I do like to understand creation and lifecycle management of any tool that's in my ecosystem, and most other IT pros do as well. So we've actually released recently a new article that you can find on our successwithteams.com site, which talks about the governance lifecycle for teams. Now, Teams, of course, is built on top of Office 365 groups. And so the capabilities that you have to govern teams is also the capabilities you have to govern groups. And so if you want to do things like be able to have naming conventions, have expiration policies, things of that nature, you're able to do that now. There is one thing you need to have, as well as your Office 365 license. You do need to have an Azure Active Directory Premium P1 license to be able to do some of the governance work that you might want to.
Is that all called yet? That's all called out in the documentation pretty clearly. Everybody can figure that out.
There's a chart there. Yep. There's a chart. We put a chart out there because we heard that feedback that people didn't know that. And so there's certainly room for conversation around that additional license that's necessary, but that is the licensing requirement today. If you have thoughts or comments about that, why, please bring them to our blog area and our forum area in the Microsoft technical community. And I do want to mention the Microsoft technical community, fantastic experience. And the number one place to keep up on what's going on, especially in Teams. Our product blog is there. We do a lot of work inside that forum. We have these Ask Me Anything events. So if you're not a user out there in the Microsoft technical community, highly recommend that you get engaged out there. It's the center of gravity for many products going forward in terms of helping IT pros stay up to date on new features and also just allowing people to ask questions and know how best to implement the technology.
Yeah, I know I spent some time out there. There's a lot going on out there. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. All right. So some of this archiving the governance, I'm with you. It's that really fine line. And Scott and I both came from the SharePoint background. So we have for many years experienced what can happen in SharePoint when it's the wild, wild west and everybody's creating sites and adding documents and there's no governance, no retention.
Yeah.
So we're the same way. We start seeing some of this group stuff and team stuff without retention, and we just start like shaking and...
Yes, yeah. Your teeth start to itch, and there's a little hives that start to break out, and I start getting nervous. And
yeah, exactly. So, and this is interesting too, because like you said, Teams is kind of a combination of a whole bunch of different things. It brings in some pieces of Exchange. It brings in some parts of SharePoint. I know there's even some Azure, some Skype for Business services there. So when it gets into some of this retention and expiration, when you start applying this, looking at the governance, is it just kind of setting like a global governance policy that then trickles down into those other services and applies, I guess, kind of that native retention, the labeling, the archiving, all of that within those individual services for the components of the team that live there, if that all makes sense?
Yes, that does make sense. And thank you for explaining what is kind of difficult to explain. Yes, that is quite true. I feel really lucky that I come from SharePoint, but I also spent some time running Skype at Microsoft. And before SharePoint, I knew a bit about Exchange. And so that's a good thing now that I'm working in Teams, because Teams has components of or management methodologies from all of those things. And so as you think about it, though, what we're committed to is making that simple for IT pros to manage. And what you're going to see between now and the end of the calendar year is more of what I call connective tissue. And if you haven't noticed, we've also launched the new Teams and Skype Admin Center in the Office 365 Admin Portal. And that is really going to be the new canvas for how you manage these things together. So an admin shouldn't have to really know that the conversations are stored in Exchange and the documents are stored in SharePoint. That is technically accurate, but not necessary for the person who's setting that retention policy. You're setting the retention policy against the workload of Teams, and it is going and doing what it needs to be done across the system. Now, there are, you know, moments when you will find a gap in that seamless experience of management of this new workload. But that's what the team is working very hard on. I actually sit in the IT Pro group in Microsoft Teams Engineering. That's where my role lives. And so I work with the folks who are working on this every day. They get it, that it's a complicated thing to manage when you start to think about Teams. And there's additional things coming, like better reports, more granularity, and being able to understand what Office 365 groups have been created from Teams and what Office 365 groups may have been created from another workload. Things like that that will help the admin experience as we go through the rest of this calendar year. So it'll get easier, but essentially that you're right. That's what needs to happen.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. So as you start setting this up, I feel like a lot of these compliance features live are the compliance features that kind of are overarching ones that span multiple services live in the compliance and or the security and compliance center.
Yes.
Some things live in individual admin centers. Is this all going to be managed in that security and compliance center? Is this in that new Skype for Business / Teams admin center? Where do people even go to start managing some of this governance and retention around Teams?
Well, the first thing they do is they visit successwithteams.com and go through the plan, right? There's a checklist and there's guidance. And the whole reason that we designed Success with Teams is to help the IT pro go through the steps necessary to make sure you're going to have a well-managed, but also a great experience for your end users. So that's the first place to start. Once you go through and you've got some of those checklists in front of you, you will be going across different experiences in the Office 365 Admin Center today. So the capabilities that you have to manage user policy and the, like for instance, guest access or who has access to third-party apps, all of that is happening in the Teams and Skype for Business Admin Center. Your security and compliance policies are still happening in what I call the S&C, you know, experience, the security and compliance portal there in the Office 365 Admin Center. So, you know, I do think that there is an idea of separate workloads, because also the other issue is, in a small to medium-sized firm, it's usually the same person who's doing all of this work. But in very large companies, it definitely is not. Right? The person who is the workload admin, who is setting some of those more technical policies or user admin policies, is a very different human from the person who is setting retention or doing records management or e-discovery. So there is something to be said for having those capabilities in separate experiences, especially as we work to have role-based access control in Office 365 Admin Center. That, what we call RBAC, will allow you to have role-based access to various components of the Office 365 Admin Center. So, you know, that's a really long-winded way of saying that, hey, there could be different people. You want to keep that separate a little bit, but you need the one checklist, right? I've heard overwhelmingly from customers that this is too difficult. And so as I run up to Ignite at the end of September and some release dates there in October, we're going to be releasing some simplified documentation that is really about the simple checklist for planning, deploying, managing, and driving adoption of Teams. Right now it is, you know, it can be a bit daunting, especially if people are coming from Skype for Business, that transition. So we're really working hard to help people understand what is the happy path. What are the 12 things you need to do to use Teams and know that it's secure and compliant, but also a great experience for your users? So that's why I get up in the morning, and I'm going to be excited to publish that.
You can't make it too simple, because that's what keeps Scott and I employed, is complications.
Don't worry, it's Microsoft, right? So I often, you know, the gentleman who is our corporate vice president, Brian McDonald, he is a visionary. And he's the one who created Microsoft Project, and he also created Outlook, right? So he brought Schedule Plus and Mail together into Outlook, and now he's created Teams. And so I often joke that between him and Jeff Tiber, who created SharePoint, they've been paying my mortgage for a really long time. These two men have no idea how much they've influenced my career and really helped me sustain my family, right? So there will always be necessary. You bring up a really good point, though. I think we can make deployment and management simpler and have us as IT pros embrace our own transformation to really working more with business people to help them get value from the tools. The other thing that I do a lot is I do this IT transformation workshop with IT departments around the world. And IT departments are trying to figure out what is their identity in this new cloud space. And whereas it used to be building SharePoint farms and maintaining servers and what have you, now we really have to transform ourselves into helping our business partners figure out what to do with the technology. And I think that that's part of the pivot that our business is making right now and why it's so difficult actually to be an IT pro today.
Yeah, I like that.
Hi, I'm Steve Peschke, and I'm one of the founders at Office365Mon.com. I worked at Microsoft for over 18 years, and one of the most common questions I got is, how do I know what's going on with the health of my Office 365 tenant? When there's a problem with your tenant, you need to know what's going on before your users. We help you understand not only when your tenant goes down, but how well it's performing. When you do have a problem, where do you start looking? Is it your network? Is it your tenant? Is it some feature inside of Office 365? Our network analysis features can pinpoint performance issues and help you figure out where those bottlenecks are. Sign up for a free 90-day trial today at office365mon.com. Stay in the know and stay in control with office365mon.com.
I've talked to businesses too, where it's like, you know what, my role, I started as a SharePoint consultant, SharePoint admin, and it really has. My role has shifted from installing SharePoint, deploying cumulative updates in the middle of the night, doing all of that type of stuff. And that's one thing I actually really like about Office 365 is I'm out of the server management, the maintenance, the responsibility for uptime and high availability. And I can build cool stuff and do a lot more of that fun stuff where it is. It's interacting with the business. It's really helping those businesses see the value of the products instead of just sitting there behind the scenes, installing updates and making sure everything keeps working for them.
I know. I actually love the work now. And I was actually that gal that had a SharePoint server in her house. I built it at home, had it, you know, so that, and a SQL server so that I could play around on stuff. I will say that now the stuff I have, I don't have the SharePoint server anymore, but I do a lot of like Azure infrastructure stuff on the weekend because I'm trying to teach myself that. So, you know, I think if you're into tech, you're always going to be into it. But what's even more interesting for me is using all of the components of Office 365. And I think if there's something, I want folks to know that it's not just about chat or meetings or the file storage. It's really about how does work flow for you as an individual. If you're a project manager, how can you use SharePoint news pages and your planner and share your documents and have conversations and meetings all in one place? It's that end-to-end experience that Teams is really focused on because, you know, I think productivity is an elusive measure. I don't talk a lot about that, but I think a reduction in frustration can be measured, right? If you have to have 15 browser windows open to get your job done and your brain has to constantly context switch, then that is introducing fatigue in your environment. One of the great things about Teams is that I know that I can reduce the fatigue of the average information worker by getting them over the hump to really using all of the capabilities of Teams in one place.
That's interesting. I'm a big proponent of reducing the fatigue thing. And yes. I think like from that side, it's great. How do you keep up with the change fatigue side of it? And yeah, here's a new feature and there's a new bot and there's the other thing. So one of my experiences has been kind of running larger scale Office 365 deployments. Like once you get above a couple hundred users, it's you spend not so much time on the technology, but more like the tenets of what the technology are. And we're actually going to have a conversation with everybody about inner and outer loops. And it might sound really off to you because it's not your day-to-day job thing, but we're still consuming a technology to do your job and coming back and what all that looks like. So I think it's a really interesting balance. And I love seeing all the stuff in Success with Teams and, you know, going through some of the governance documentation. It's actually great that you just call out like, hey, these are decision points and they're to be determined. and the rest of the stuff does not look that way. Sometimes it's more prescriptive. It says, just do this and it'll work. It's like, well, I really don't know if it will work that way.
Or for actually, me. I know pretty much for sure that it won't work that way. Yeah, you know, when we envisioned Success with Teams at the launch of the product, I really wanted it to be a result of the experience that many of us had of Microsoft documentation, being very thorough, but not written from an implementation standpoint. That's why I have that vanity URL, Success with Teams, because I feel like, you know, if you follow the stuff we're publishing as we continue to iterate on it, we will help you make the right decisions about the service. But your core point about change fatigue is so valid. You know, I managed change fatigue with my customers in some ways that may not sound traditional and then are very right. So most of the time I try not to talk about the new bells and whistles and the new features, except when I'm doing a demo of a particular scenario. I was at a customer just recently this week, and she had some feedback about Teams, and it wasn't all shiny. There was some really tough feedback, and actually that's the best part of my job. I love it when people tell me what's wrong or what they don't understand. So if you see me at a conference, if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever else, you know, I encourage that open dialogue because we really are listening to people to make the product better. But oftentimes, someone has simply showed them a list of new features or a new list of capabilities. Like, hey, in Teams now, because we've delivered this convergence plan, why you can have up to 250 people in your Teams meeting. That doesn't mean anything unless you're talking to Sally about how she's going to do her next all hands, right? Or how is she going to do executive engagement or employee engagement? Then when you talk about, for instance, live events being available and being able to broadcast broad events in Yammer and Teams and on stream all at the same time, then their eyes light up. And so I think when you connect the features to something that is tactical and real in the user's environment, then it becomes a plus that you just taught them something, not, oh my goodness, you're telling me more things I need to deal with.
No, that's some great advice. Everyone should take that one to heart.
Yeah, it's really, you know, when I teach people how to, part of what I'm doing at Ignite is teaching a Office 365 end user adoption planning class. And this class that I'm teaching is a precursor to the adoption specialist tests I'm going to be launching on edX.org. There are six capability areas that you need to understand to be good at driving adoption of services and in varying levels of complexity. But they all center on the user. Too often, IT pros and business people or whatever, they will think about everything but what is that employee experience? But for me, that is the touchstone of reality that actually reduces the noise in this space and helps us to have to chart a course that is meaningful with as little distraction and fatigue as possible.
I agree. That's a really good point, and I'm guilty of it as well. I'm an IT pro, and I like all the bright, new, shiny stuff. I always am, ooh, new feature. What does this do, and what does that do? And it can be, as IT pros, especially in this new world where we aren't necessarily as focused on the features, like we were talking about earlier, where it's focused more on business solutions, you can't forget about that end user and that end user experience and just focus on the new features. You do need to do exactly what you said and start with the use cases, the businesses. How is this really going to enhance the business and not, oh, let's roll out this new feature because it's a new bright, shiny feature I want to play with.
Right. And, you know, also this also goes down to what I call persona mapping, right? I have cohorts of users inside of Microsoft who are extremely interested in the tech. They were part of the early adopter program. Some of them are in our internal champions program or a part of my public Office 365 champions program. And they are interested in those bright, shiny objects. So I do demo things to them so that they can be empowered to help their user communities that they're accountable for. But when I'm actually talking to business or if I'm doing end user training, you know, then I definitely root everything in those business scenarios. It's really about know your audience, right? This kind of goes back to my theater training, right? If you're a performance or theater major, you have to understand your audience. Are they coming to see a comedy or a drama or both, right? And you need to know what their level is, what their expectations are, and in our world, understand their level of digital literacy. Because if you're dealing with an audience of folks who have been living in email and emailing around spreadsheets for most of their career, Teams is an extremely overwhelming transition for those folks, and you need to take them in business-centric processes in segments. Don't just turn them loose in Teams and tell them to start chatting. That won't be meaningful for them. Move their monthly review to Teams. Move their out-of-office process to Teams. Like, move an entire process end-to-end into the Teams experience. That is part of the secret sauce of driving adoption and reducing fatigue right now. It's not just turning it on and letting people go, though we at Microsoft, we love it if you do that. But for a successful experience, we really believe that moving those end-to-end business processes over is what's going to get people to have a happy experience and not revolt.
Yeah. So one thing you just mentioned, this Office 365 Champion program, is that I've actually heard a little bit about it, but I know pretty much nothing about it. It's one of those things that rang a bell when you mentioned it. Yeah. What is the Office 365 Champion program? Is that, can you talk a little bit about that? What exactly that is?
I can absolutely talk about that. It is my one of my passion projects that, again, the wonderful people at Microsoft tend to keep letting me do the things I love. And that's one of the reasons I'm a very, very happy Microsoft employee. So the Office 365 Champions program was relaunched in July. It already existed with a group on LinkedIn of business users who were interested in learning about Office 365 a little bit more deeply. But there wasn't a home for the IT pro in the Champion program, which I thought was not wise. And there was a lot of interest in the IT pro community for what is essentially a user group on steroids, right? I think of it as it's the center of gravity for where you can come and hear from people like me, from product engineering and other experts. You get access, early access to resources and tools for driving adoption and education about Office 365. Now, we relaunched it with the center of gravity in the Microsoft technical community. We have a dedicated forum out there called the Champions Corner that you get access to once you sign up for the program. The program sign up is at https://o365champions. And that lets you opt into the community and become a part of it and have access to these monthly calls. And the monthly calls is like a virtual user group. I have a rotating agenda of content that's good for business users, IT pros, as well as some developer content. Because one of the things that we found in our research is there's a lot of what I call accidental developers, right? There's folks who you might have been a SharePoint admin, but then someone asks you to do something that requires just a little bit of code, right? Or you're trying to integrate something across Office 365, and that means you have to do some PowerShell work, or you really do need to actually write a bot in 5 minutes or something, right? So we want to make sure that we're embracing those folks in these monthly meetings. So the next monthly meeting, actually the first monthly meeting, will be on September 19th. We have them at 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. to accommodate the left and right coasts and worldwide. It's available in the sign-up form. Does have some limitations in terms of what countries it's available in, but we're adding more countries as we run up to Ignite. So I really encourage everyone to come and join me out there because it will be the chief channel for where I release a lot of this training material and adoption information and, you know, helping people to really navigate these waters and make the IT transformation. We'll talk quite a bit about that as well. So I hope you join us.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit. All right. Very cool. I just went out and registered. I just submitted it.
Note to those who register, it doesn't show up in Chrome. Go in through Edge or IE or something else, or maybe go in through a Mac.
Really?
It showed up in Chrome for me.
I don't know. Maybe it gets blocked by an ad blocker. It worked in Edge for me. I was multitasking and signing up as well.
It should work in any browser. So that's very interesting.
Maybe it's because I'm on a Mac. Maybe it's my Chrome on the Mac.
Yeah, no, knows. It's always Chrome a Mac thing.
I love my Mac. Come on. I am a hybrid through and through. I have PCs and Macs everywhere in my universe. And that's another thing actually we'll talk about in the Champions program is, you know, the advent of the iPad and the Mac as an asset that corporate IT has to manage is no small thing. So Teams definitely does help with that. If you haven't tried the Teams client on a Mac, why, you definitely should. It's a great experience. So
yeah, it's been a lifesaver on mobile.
Yes, hasn't it though? Yeah. I do a tremendous amount through my mobile device. And I really encourage people, if you're not using that mobile app right now, boy, are you missing out. It's so good.
Yep. I actually just took a phone call right before this in the mobile app through Teams. I have my business number added to Teams and rang on my mobile and answered it. And yeah, it works well. I use it a ton too.
Yeah. And you know, if you also, so does the video. One of the things that people need to understand about Teams is it's been re-engineered from the ground up in the cloud. Azure Media Services, you know, all of the other innovations that we've brought to the table, you know, it really has a very high quality meeting experience for voice and video. And that's one of the core scenarios that we encourage people to embrace when you're doing your meetings in Teams. Turn your video on. Doesn't matter what you look like. It's not about ego. It's about improving your communication with the people you're working with. Because so much of what we understand, what our brains understand in communication is visual. Right? The voice is a great thing, but it's a missed opportunity if you don't use the video in Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, I found that too. Working with a lot of my clients, again, over Skype for Business, the whole video experience, screen sharing, video with your webcam, all of that just works so much better in Teams than it does Skype for Business. I can't wait to get rid of my Skype for Business client on my Mac and be able to just use Teams. There's a couple features I need yet, but as soon as they come, Skype for Business client is going away for good.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Skype for Business will continue as a product in Microsoft. We are releasing a new on-prem server version at and right after Ignite. So I don't want customers to be worried about that. And we're not forcing anyone to make the move, but we are inviting you to have a much better experience by moving to Skype for Business. And if you weren't using Skype for Business online in your environment yet, go directly to Teams. I want to be really clear about that. Apparently, there's still some confusion with some folks about what they should be doing. Go to Teams. That's what you should do. If you don't have Skype for Business online already deployed in your environment, it will save your users the double hop of having to learn two types of technology, and you'll get the benefit of that higher quality and more integrated experience by going to Teams. So,
all right. Very cool. So that about wraps it up. Anything else you want to tell people, how they can get in touch with you if they do have feedback, positive or negative? Or it sounds like you'll be at Ignite if they want to come hunt you down at Ignite.
Absolutely.
Amongst the 24,000 other people, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, you know, 20,000 of your closest friends. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, I love Ignite. I'm always happy to talk to people there. So yes, if you see me, I'm happy to talk to you. I may be running from one place to another. So, you know, but the best place to ask your questions about Microsoft Teams is in that Microsoft Technical Community Forum for Microsoft Teams. You know, have an RSS feed of our blog go into your Teams channel so that you can automatically see what's happening there. Stay tuned for more governance and templates and tools to accelerate people's use of Teams in ways that we think are going to be really useful. I think the templates are going to be very exciting. I'm going to be publishing some templates in a partnership with the folks who are building that feature, but then you'll be able to make your own templates in your environment, which I think is going to be great. If you haven't thought about how Teams can transform that employee experience, please do, because between live meetings and that ability to broadcast directly from Teams and incorporate all of the other tools of Office 365 for what we call modern project management, there's some really core scenarios that every worker has to deal with that we know we can make better. And if you want to know how to do that, join the Champions program and check out Success with Teams. And then find us, you know, out there on that forum. And we're happy to help you in this transformational journey. So thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
All right. Very cool. Not a problem. Thanks for joining us. And again, if you're listening, we'll put a bunch of these links too, to the Champions program and the forums and Caruana on Twitter and your YouTube channel and all that. That'll all be in the show notes. So if anybody wants to get those, you can either sign up for the mailing list or go to mscloudITpropodcast.com/episode82. And we'll have all of those there. So thank you again, Caruana. Thanks, Scott. And we will talk to you both later and hopefully see you guys both at Ignite.
Thanks. I know I'll be
Thank
there.
You. Yeah, we will.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.